We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from Bedfordshire on Sunday, read by Brian Perkins.
Council officers slammed for overpaying pensions by £95,000, blamed people for not telling them they were dead.
Thanks to Mr. Willett of Bedford for that. Let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Janet Street Porter. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Sandy Toxvig. Francis, the traditional easy question for you. Why will we be having a right royal knees up?
Well, this is massive news, isn't it? It's Prince Charles. Am I right? 2 points. He's done it at last. He's broken the world record for solo circumnavigation of Camilla Parker Bowles. It's taken him a long time to get round to it, 20 or 30 years or however long they've been together, but he's done it. He popped the question.
But Francis, they didn't even have an engagement.
No, I think it's called an extramarital affair, their version of the engagement.
I'm a bit worried about that photograph they issued. You know that
the kilt.
Picture of the kilt?
And he has this big red leather thing over his todger. And
that's called a sporran.
He's wearing a skirt. I know it's called a sporran. All right, it's called a todger in London. They asked about the timing of this, and I was trying to work out why. Well, my wife asked me why they timed it. And I thought, it must be because, since I'm doing my own, it's about the taxion. If he's going to be taxed on all these duchy holdings and all the rest, he will then be entitled to benefits.
Well,
and now he's married. I mean, if he can't work for a day or two, if there's no work for a Prince of Wales, and he goes down to the job centre and says, we haven't got any 40... If he's married, and the next 33 is 80.
I was watching the news on it, and the Archbishop of Canterbury was speaking, so I turned the volume down, and... So I had a good chance to look at his face, and he's got... Do you remember those drawings where you'd have an old man with a beard, and when you turned it upside down... was a woman with bouffant hair. He is one of those drawings, come to life.
They'll get married on a ley line somewhere in Glastonbury, won't they? And it'll be all the best man's speech will be given by one of his organic vegetables.
Yeah, probably.
I have cut a headline out of Tuesday's Telegraph.
Oh, that's very bad.
Willie actually says, Charles splashes out on Camilla and Garden.
Days after coming under fire over his spending, Prince Charles announced that he and his long-time partner Camilla are to marry in April. Few details are known about the wedding, but I can exclusively reveal that Prince Harry will not be choosing his own uniform. Excellent. Janet, why did a handshake give hope to millions?
Oh, you mean...
Francis knows.
The President of Israel.
Prime Minister.
Prime Minister of Israel. And the Palestinian leader shook hands for the first time and agreed to a ceasefire.
Exactly, yeah.
No, it was very nice, actually, because I was thinking, as they had that big table, that all they really wanted was some Lego and build a little wall down the middle. It would have been a nice symbolic thing.
Yes, it was a large table, probably not one that was on offer at IKEA in North London. What I want to know is, why did 4,000 people on a Wednesday night go to North London at midnight to get anything from IKEA?
Can you imagine the shock if you woke up at about 1 o'clock in the morning in Edmonton and you suddenly thought, tea lights, I need tea lights. I've got a theory about that shop. I've got a theory that what they do is they write all the prices down, right? They write like £500 and then 50p and things, and then they throw them in the air. So you get a sofa for 50p and then a candle, 600 quid.
Do you realise that by the time the repeat goes out, people who've bought stuff will still be looking for one of those little Allen keys at the bottom of the box that puts the whole thing together?
Why did it
take 4 days.
Why did they name it after you? What was
it? IKEA.
No, Allen key.
Oh.
Where were we? Oh, yeah. Peace in the Middle East.
Yes.
She scares me, that Condoleezza Rice. Can I just say that?
Well, that hairstyle's a little dodgy. Yeah.
The hair, it's like she started as a normal hairstyle and then an alien made a corn circle in the middle. And who could travel that far around the world and still look perky?
Israel and Palestine declared a truce this week when their respective leaders, Mahmoud Abbas and Ariel Sharon, met in Egypt. After her success at bringing the two leaders from violently opposed groups together, Ms. Rice has now turned her attention to resolving another long-running bloody feud. between Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. Sandy, what do points mean?
What do points mean?
Yes, what do points mean?
Prizes, yeah, points mean prizes, is there a news story about points meaning prizes?
Absolutely, it's called the News Quiz. There is bound to be a story about it.
I know, new immigration system.
It is, right, yeah.
You've got to add up the right number of points.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
And France is a very weird system, isn't it? Because some people are more welcome than others. We want qualified people. Suddenly we don't want waiters anymore. We don't want anybody who's going to serve us breakfast in hotels all over Britain. We only want brain surgeons, teachers, people with lots of professional qualifications. And they get a maximum number of points.
Isn't it funny? Because I didn't know what the answer was, because it had never occurred to me that we should deal with immigration in this country like a game show. What an old-fashioned girl I am. I'm a foreigner, and I don't know how many points I would get. I've got no obvious skills. In fact, I could be a bit of a Danish sleeper.
I've got a Polish carpenter who's really quite good.
But you won't have him for long if you keep telling everybody.
Do you turn up at Dover, you come through the tunnel with your aspirations for British
I think there's probably
nationality,
a form that you tick.
And they test you, and you have to do things. You say, take this brain out, worm this cat, put this bath in. That's rather good. Dover's going to be fantastic. I shall move to Dover and all these people will be coming in showing how they can do this stuff. I should get my car sorted.
What would you do?
Get my trousers shortened. What would I do? Yeah,
what would your skill be at the docks?
I'd teach people to dress to the left.
This week, Home Secretary Charles Clarke unveiled his new immigration plans, which was disappointing immigration plans. There's a desperate shortage of people willing to take up low-skilled jobs, such as fruit picking, cleaning, and being leader of the Conservative Party. Alan, listen to this. Come on into the jail, hard rock, away to me, let it rock. Everybody, let it rock. Everybody in the whole Alan, which politician gave his party the hard sell this week?
Yes, this will be about the prison service. This will be Charles Clarke and/or stroke Michael Howard. It's three strikes and out. They are battling to steal one another's honours. And Howard, I think, said that what they're going to introduce is this American system whereby if you...
Quickly, darling, you're boring people.
I think three offences and you go down for life.
Well, yes, more or less.
Well, I mean, I was shaken out of that by the defection of the audience. I'm going to take my 2 points and run. Can I have 2 points for that?
You can. Michael Howard has pledged to restore law and order in Britain by building more prisons. After all, he's going to need a hobby after the general election. He wants to provide another 20,000 places for criminals, as the House of Commons only holds 659. At the end of round one, the scores are... Alan and Sandy have 2, but Francis and Janet startling in the lead with 6 points. And we start round two with a notice spotted pinned to the door of South Mead Police Station.
Due to staff shortages, this front office will be closed until 07 hours. Please use the phone on the wall if you require assistance or custody.
Thanks to Caroline Barker Bennett of Bristol for that. Francis, which major cock-up led to extraordinary revelations about a major cock-up?
It's to do with John Major. The government, Labour, has decided to fight the next election, turn it into a referendum on what happened 13 years ago, apparently. They reckon this is their best bet. It is bizarre. They're very excited about all this. They think it's going to scupper the Tories by revealing that they left the ERM in September 1992. I think most of us knew this already. And those who didn't know it, the younger voters, won't have any idea what the ERM was and who Norman Lamont was. And so it's not really going to help them much, I don't think. And there weren't that many revelations in it, except that Major said, or it turned out, that Major had written a letter of resignation on the day, on Black Wednesday, to the Queen. And he said, it wasn't one of those letters where you offer your resignation expecting it to be turned down. I actually genuinely wrote to the Queen resigning. But he forgot to post it, rather cleverly. So that's why he staggered on for another 5 years afterwards. But,
I think the most annoying thing about this whole freedom of information thing is that we now have had to have John Major again. making speeches. And in addition, it seemed to me, because he's quite dull, to keeping all the documents in a small dark room, they too have kept him in a small dark room. He sounds like he's been dusted off.
Now, Sandy, I have to disagree with you there, because I think that John Major is unbelievably erotic.
He is.
And Francis, my teammate, is agreeing with
me. I had John Major's hand on my thigh throughout a pudding course at lunch one day, and I can assure you, he's very tactile.
Yeah. I've had John Major's hand on my upper arm, very thrilling.
I once had breakfast with John Major and David Frost. And there was this thing about John Major being this incredibly nice, cheerful fellow. We were there for an hour and a half. He never spoke a bloody word to me.
But did he put his hand on your thigh?
Well, no, it was quite a big table.
Britain's humiliating exit from the European exchange rate mechanism on Black Wednesday has been the topic of much debate lately. In an interview with Channel 4 News, Mr. Major admitted that following Britain's exit from the ERM, he'd written a lengthy and detailed resignation letter. But sadly, Norman Lamont just wouldn't sign it. 2 points, Francis. Janet, who isn't down and out, down under?
Cherie.
Yep.
Poor Cherie has been the subject of endless speculation all week about what proportion of her lecture tour in Australia and New Zealand is going to a charity, and after all her expenses and her fee have been paid. And it hasn't really been helped by the fact that they've been doorstepping people who've been to the talks. They've all been whinging because they haven't had enough, you know. Some people have said, we haven't had enough gossip, and some people have said it's not heavyweight. You know, we expected more stuff about human rights and so on. Poor Cherie's in a no-win situation, actually, so I'm going to sound a note of sympathy for her.
Well, that was where she got it wrong, though, because she thought she was in a no-win situation. She said she was in Australia while she was, in fact, in New Zealand, which didn't go down too well.
That didn't go down. That was pretty dumb.
I think the worst thing she was accused of was being boring. And you think, well, what were you expecting? It's not like anybody's gone around going, Cherie, she's us. What a gripping woman. And she's written a book about prime ministers' wives. What did they think they were going to get? Now, the human rights situation of redecorating that front room. I don't know what they thought.
Why are we so awful about her?
I really like
her. She comes out of nowhere from Liverpool. She's very poor. She is brilliant. She is clever. She's hardworking. She's, you know, got a womb like a trip hammer and fires. She's a wonderful all-round.
You're doing so well.
But I know, I think she's absolutely extraordinary, and she gets such crap from the British press.
Alan, she's being paid to raise money for charity. Discuss.
Cherie Blair's speaking tour of Australia and New Zealand to raise money for charity came under fire because her Australian agent has reportedly secured her a six-figure sum for doing the tour. Mrs. Blair isn't the only person to forget which country she's in. Her husband, Tony, often gets confused and thinks we're in America. 2 points to Janet. Sandy, listen to this. Do you need a question, Sandy?
No. This is the story of the gutsy girl who sailed around the world in a small branch of a DIY outlet. Good on her, and I think it's a marvellous thing. And apparently there was some debate. She got a fax saying, we're going to make you a CBE. And then the Queen went, no, we're going to make you a dame. Everybody got very, very excited about it. And I was thinking about it, because I am, of course, Danish. There's not much between being Dane Sandy Toksvig and Dame Sandy Toksvig. It's a very, very small consonant. So I just thought, in future, if you wouldn't mind referring to me as Dane Sandy Toksvig. Okay, here's the thing I didn't get, right? I had a look at, no disrespect to Dame Ellen, what a marvellous thing. And why that she's done this. But she left Falmouth, right, and she went south, and she went down past Europe and Africa and then round the Antarctic and then back up the same way again. That's not round the world. It isn't really, is it? Because you've gone round the south bit. What about the North Pole? What about going... That's not really round.
The only thing that irritated me about all this coverage, they kept going on about Ellen being 5'2". Now, my partner tonight actually dreams of being 5'2", but is herself a great sailor, a circumnavigated Great Britain, not recognising it, because the gunnels were 2 feet high and she couldn't see where she was.
I never saw a thing, actually.
But you are a major sailor.
Yeah, I also...
And should be applauded. There's nothing about being 5 foot two.
I also once canoed across Africa. Now, can I just say, this is completely true. Can I just say, I do not recommend this. You get a condition that I can only describe as trench bottom. And I think she'll be drying out for months, that poor girl. They have a wonderful race in Falmouth every year, which I really recommend that you ought to go, which I once took part in, and it's a classic boat race. And all these wonderfully ancient boats, matched only in age by the age of the skippers. On the day that we were doing it, I was in a very, very old boat indeed, and we were completely becalmed, and the boat that won was the first one over the start line. It's a marvellously sedate thing.
And how Dame Ellen MacArthur became the fastest person to sail around the world, 71 days, 14 hours, 18 minutes, 33 seconds, beating Francis Joiron's record by 32 hours. She's the envy of the sailing world for making it in record time and the envy of everyone on the P&O Aurora for getting out of the English Channel. She left Falmouth and after a two-month journey found herself in exactly the same place she had been. Regular travellers on Wessex trains know the feeling very well. Her boat was named B&Q because it always had a sail on. Alan, whose blackberry got a raspberry?
I assume it's about Alistair Campbell.
Yes.
Who upset people by swearing. But I read it in the Daily Mail. What he actually said was, asterisk off, you asterisks. I see nothing offensive in it. Me calling a person asterisk is not offensive at all. He has this blueberry. I don't really understand blueberry.
Blackberry.
It's a blackberry, is it? It's nothing to do with Fats Domino. Right, anyway. Well, he's got this thing. He's got a blackberry which gives him information, and you can get anything in the world on it. And he got very upset about his suggested involvement in the flying pigs. Just wrote, I think, emailed the BBC from this fruit he carries in his pocket, saying that they were all a bunch of asterisks. Reading between the lines, the words of course you don't get that on the BBC or in the Daily Mail. And I rather liked it in the Daily Mail, because they were outraged. They actually put it in large. They found large font asterisks to put down. So you really knew what he was saying.
He just went a bit mad. He didn't mean to send it. Was he sent it by mistake, didn't he? He meant to send it to a friend.
Pressed the wrong button.
And pressed the button for Newsnight instead.
Oh, that's really good. That's really what you want in a campaign organiser.
Well, it just makes you hope he's never in charge of any kind of nuclear weaponry.
Or drawing up dossiers about weapons of mass destruction.
Now you're just being silly.
Alistair Campbell found himself back in hot water 2 weeks after returning to mastermind Labour's election campaign after accidentally sending a rude, abusive email to Newsnight on the BBC. Angered by his intemperate emails, Labour MP Peter Kilfoyle claimed, "Not everyone lies awake at night and thinks how terrible the BBC is." So there's one man who's never listened to you and yours. At the end of round two, Alan and Sandy have 6 points, but Francis and Janet are still in the lead with 10. And before we start the final round, here's an item from The Messenger from St. Michael and All Angels Church.
It was once the custom for the font to be at the door end of the church, as baptism symbolised entry into Christian life. Now it tends to be at the front end, so that the congregation can see well. Some churches retain both, so that babies can be baptised at both ends.
Thanks to Joy Langridge of Blackheath for sending that in. Francis, who's refused to cut out the smoking habit?
Is this to do with people smoking in films?
It is.
James Bond is allowed to smoke still, because young people don't watch James Bond films, apparently, and so it won't be a bad influence on them. But you can't have smoking in Harry Potter. That's about the size of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fascinating they don't operate this kind of certification for people drinking, getting drunk, binge drinking in films. It's all
Don't give them ideas, Janet.
No, we're just about to introduce 24-hour drinking, and we're worried about smoking in films.
And then there's the gambling after that. When they open their all-night casinos, Tessa Jowell will compensate by saying that no one is allowed to gamble in films. So that's the end of that.
I quite like the idea of it, though.
Best movies.
They'll show in some films some torrid sex scene, and then normally where they'd be having a bit of a, you know, cigarette, they'll play Scrabble.
Yes.
Changed my life. You remember a film called Dangerous Moonlight, at the end of which, Paul Henreid and I think Betty Davis, and he lights two cigarettes and gives her one.
Actually, it was Now Voyager.
Oh, was it? Yes, it yeah. wasn't Dangerous Movie.
That's all right. No, that's okay.
Anyway, the whole history of modern coughing would have been different if I hadn't seen that film. Because when I tried it in the Odeon with this rather nice girl, Stella Cox, I was about 14, and most of my lower lip was removed. Because it was the days before cork tips, and if you have an ordinary and you like two, by the time you get the second one out, so much of your body is absorbed into the cigarette. It's like that. And I pass her this bloodstained thing. I wonder where she is now and who she is.
The new British Board of Film Classification guidelines for film classification and censorship frown on racial violence and the glamorisation of smoking and alcohol. A spokeswoman said this board would try to cut down on smoking scenes and hope to get to below 20 or so a day with patches.
I've never smoked. Is it possible to build up to it using the patches?
Janet, listen to this. Janet, why should kids sing We're All Going on a midterm holiday?
Well, is it because the school year is going to be reconfigured?
No.
No, no. It's the head of NASWAT.
Well, it's called
something like
no,
that,
it's
but
the head
enough educated to be able to do acronyms. And he said, you're better off taking your children to Disneyland than having them in school.
Yeah, the permitted absences
yes.
is what he's thinking.
Yes, correct.
It's some sort of watchdog, isn't it? It stops people working, children working too hard. Off-SWAT.
A Welsh teachers' union has called for parents to be allowed to take their children out of school to go on holiday because trips are just as educational as school lessons are, and it's another way to get class sizes down.
Hang on a minute there, Simon. The Welsh teachers' union. So travel broadens the mind, i.e. travel out of Wales, possibly.
Yes, right. Yes, to Australia.
I'd be careful about that route that you're heading down.
It's all right, I've already been reported to the Race Relations Board by them, so they can do it
Have
again
you?
For all I care.
They do write a lot of letters, the Welsh.
They do, and I'm half Welsh, so they can write them.
They do write a lot of letters. They tend to use L twice and G's everywhere.
Ironically, I once took the children on holiday to Wales, and the only Welsh word I learnt was isbiti, which means hospital, which gives you some idea of how well it went.
Sandy, why are barcodes spanning all life, bar none?
This is an extraordinary story. Every single living creature in the world is going to be given a barcode. I don't know where. I mean, there's plenty of room on me, but take your wingless ant, for example. It's going to be a little bit tricky. But the amusing part about this is that the very institute which names all creatures has run out of funding. So the institute that's going to be naming the creatures that are barcoded is, in fact, threatened with extinction. And I think that's rather pleasing. That's a rather curious thing. But, yes, we're all going to be given a... the next time there's an ark, basically what will happen is that instead of going on two by two, you'll just go zzz, over the thing, you see. And then they'll ask if you've got a nectar card.
Genetic profiles of all 10 million of the planet's known species have been collected by scientists so we can all access a complete library via handheld devices. 80% of the world's species have yet to be classified and named, meaning we could one day discover what that is clinging to Brian Blessed's face. Alan, where is it out with the pride and in with the adultery?
There's a new list of seven deadly sins. I never thought the others were that deadly. I mean, I've tried them and nothing grew on me. But things like gluttony and lust are out. I think the worst one is cruelty. It was a survey by somebody, probably, I don't know, some usually a Norwegian university.
There's actually the BBC, same thing.
So the BBC, is it Francis, has done a survey into a list of sins.
It's the BBC Heaven and Earth programme. So
they've put all this together and they've come up with a different list. And I think, I'm not sure, adultery I don't think is on it.
Yeah, this maybe.
Is it still on it? Oh, good.
Yeah.
But
replacing lust.
There's no point doing it if it's not simple. But the top of them is cruelty, and bigotry is in there,
yep.
and one or two other things.
Not wearing, indicating. I hate that. That's
wearing brown shoes in town after 6:30 is still not going down very well.
I know that anger is in it, because they rang me up and said, we're doing this special on the seven deadly sins. Will you do anger? Why me?
I'm not
I don't
doing
even know
it
about these
at this time of the month.
I left a message on my machine saying, do you want to do sloth? But I couldn't be asked to ring that.
Were you asked to do it, Simon?
I scored very heavily on all of them. A survey for BBC TV's Heaven and Earth shows revealed that most people think the old seven deadly sins are out of date and should be replaced by cruelty, adultery, bigotry, dishonesty, hypocrisy, greed and selfishness. It's amazing how many people can't name the seven deadly sins, which, as we all know, are dopey, grumpy, happy... Before we reveal the final scores, we should hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
This is from the Telegraph last week, a week ago, the obituary of Malcolm Hardy, one of the godfathers of alternative comedy. Charming obituary, though slightly one-track obituary, something he was well known for. A Hardy performance usually involved the flourishing of genitalia and was not for the faint-hearted. Fans would greet his arrival on stage with cries of, "Get your knob out." He was said to be huge in Germany and Sweden.
Janet.
Lesbian model wins sex pest case against boss. Her lawyer said, "This is a classic case of sexual harassment. Someone who is looking for an advantage by using their power and tempting the person with a carrot."
Sandy.
This has been sent in by G.M. Gittins from the East Manchester Advertiser. A killer who murdered his mother-in-law and chopped up the body with a cleaver has been jailed for life, keeping secret what he did with her remains. At the time of the killing, butcher Mohammed Arshad helped run a takeaway and also had a job in a pie factory.
Alan.
I have a snippet, Simon, from the Derby Telegraph. It says, charged with dishonestly handling a protected species, McGee told the court that he honestly believed the tortoise was a garden ornament. He did not realise it was alive until it bit him.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final scores. Francis and Janet have 15 points, but Alan and Sandy have charged back to win with 18 points. And in by Jenny Barrington.
Art treasures representing 2,000 years of glassmaking go under the hammer at Christie's this week.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the newspaper, Francis Green, Janet Street Porter, Sandy Coxford and Alan Corrin. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by George Coles, Simon Littlefield, Lucy Clark, Paul Ferenza and Roderick Cooks. And the producer was Katie Tyrrell.